Father God, we do exalt you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here in this room and watching us online. Father God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them. And we thank you, Father, that they will fulfill that plan. They will fulfill that purpose. And we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word would not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear. This brings forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that's present today. We thank you that that anointing will touch us. And if anyone's watching or here that's going through any kind of situation, physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, any kind of situation, we thank you that the anointing of God will minister to them, will touch their lives and touch their spirits. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be here today. You know, because this is the day the Lord has made and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it and actually really mean that. You know, a lot of people say that, but they don't mean that. You know, they'll say something like that, then they'll go downstairs and gripe at their kids. Then they'll go to work and gripe at their coworkers, you know, or if they're the boss, they'll gripe at their employees. But you know what? We should be excited. It's 2021, the year of awesomeness. I'm excited about what God is doing. My faith, my trust is in God and God alone. You know, I believe my money in God. We trust. Amen. Amen. Well, before we start, first of all, I think we still need four approved workers. I took it down, but a few minutes ago, I know it was up there. I want to make an advertisement for myself. No, I really want you guys, if you have not listened to Tony McKinnon and I, we have a podcast. We put out two programs a week, and we got a real interesting comment the other day. They're saying, well, it's not really Faith Seminar of the Year. Well, that's not what we're going for. You know, it's like two weirdos talking about whatever's on their heart. No, I mean, you know, we do get spiritual sometimes. We do get natural a lot. We even have a singing jukebox. Yes. Anthony Washington joins us, you know, from time to time, and I'm, you know, he'll sing, because every time he joins us, like, we can't sing, so we'll have him sing. So, you know, he sings all kinds of songs. I know last week, we ended our show with God Bless America. Amen, and it was a good program. This week, we're actually interviewing Justin Wiggin. He's a small-town pastor. He comes from a small town, and he actually pastors three churches in different small towns, and he has plans for two more. If it wasn't for COVID, he would have had two more going this year. And so he talks about life in a small town. You know, some of you might can relate. I can't relate. Tony can relate because he's from a town that nobody lives in, including him. He doesn't even live there. Yeah. So now it's even smaller than it was when Tony was there. So anyway, well, praise God. Everyone excited today? Amen. Well, you should be. If you're not, get excited. Notify your face. You know, pinch yourself, pinch your neighbor, do something. I don't know. All right. Well, today, I prayed about this. I don't know how many times because I'm like, you know, that's just me or whatever. But I just really, a couple weeks ago, I was supposed to preach last Sunday, And a couple weeks ago, I was just really stirred in my heart that the first Sunday of 2021 that I ministered, that I would minister on healing. I didn't preach last Sunday. And I think, well, maybe that's just me. So I prayed about it all week long. And the Lord just really said that we're going to have a healing line tonight. Or this morning, sorry. I'm used to always doing healing at nighttime. I don't know what it is. Lord wants to heal you in the morning and nighttime. Doesn't really matter. So we're going to have a healing service this year. We're going to start the year off right. And so we're going to read from Mark chapter 5. I like Mark chapter 5 because obviously it takes faith to be healed. And in Mark chapter 5, we can see two instances of people using their faith in getting healed. And so Mark chapter 5, we're going to read today from the New King James Version. Mark 5:21 starts off and it says, "And now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea." Now, I want to stop right there because do you realize that when Jesus lived that they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have internet? I don't know if they had any kind of real, you know, regular mail service or something like that, you know. How did the people on the other side of the lake know that Jesus was coming? I just want to know that. I mean, you know, unless somebody beat Jesus across the lake, you know, and I don't know. I've always wondered. But it is interesting. As soon as he stepped off the boat, there were multitudes of people there. I mean, that's just amazing. And because, I mean, just think about it. If you had an opportunity to see Jesus, wouldn't you be there too? I mean, you know, you see a lot of people show up to see some kind of so-called star, you know, or you'll see all these paparazzi, they call them, you know, taking their pictures and things like that. And Jesus is like 1 million times greater than any of those folks, you know, because he just is not a reality star. He is the star. Amen. Anyway, so verse 22 says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So, I mean, think about this, how amazing it is. So Jairus got to Jesus. And, you know, I don't know, you know, how many of you have kids or have grandkids, but there's not, whenever your kids are in pain, you know, it's terrible. Especially if your kids are young enough where they can't really tell you what's wrong with them. You know, but in this situation, they knew that there was something wrong, and they knew that this girl was dying. And so he went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, will you come to my house? Because if you come to my house, my daughter is going to live and not die." See, that was a faith statement. If you come to my house. Now, you know, I mean, how awesome it is that Jesus said, "Sure, I'll come to your house. You know, let's go." And as they begin to go, there were multitudes of people following them. Now, I know that sounds really awesome. And, you know, obviously, in that time and place, you know, if you needed healing, you had to get to Jesus. But what's even more awesome is he's already at your house. Do you realize Jesus doesn't have to come to your house? He's already at your house. In fact, the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, Jesus is also. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. You know, because I know some people will say, "Well, I got to wait to get to church to get healed." No, you don't. You can get healed at your own house because Jesus is in your house all the time. And he's not, unlike you, Jesus doesn't take naps. He doesn't go to bed. He's always there, always, you know, alert and awake in the middle of the night or, you know, here's what's kind of funny too. You know, we say the middle of the night. You realize the middle of the night's really the morning. It's not really the night. It's already the next day. So anyway, but Jesus is already at your house. But in this situation, this man says, you know, "Come lay your hands on her and she may be healed and will live." It was a faith statement. He's going to live because you're coming to my house. Well, you know what? You're going to live because Jesus is at your house. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. All right? Now, verse 25. This is the point where most ministers, especially my grandfather ministered, he always would start with verse 25, and it is a good story, but see, there's two stories in one. They're headed to this girl's house, but on the way, there was a multitude of people that were around Jesus and actually not allowing them to walk as fast as they could. Because, you know, I don't know, you know, if you've ever been with a bunch of people, you can't walk as fast as you can whenever you're just by yourself. All right? That's why, like, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever ran like a marathon or a 5K or whatever, some kind of race. And when you first start, they're all bunched up. You know, but if you can break away, you can actually run a lot faster. You know, so it's always good to break away. All right, but it says, verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here's a woman that for 12 years is a long time, folks. And I always like to think about, well, how can I relate how long 12 years is? Because, you know, actually, the older you get, 12 years seems a lot shorter. It really does. Time flies when you start having fun. And then you have to remember the good old days. They were just old. They weren't that good. But for some reason, you think they were good. But anyway, you know, so the way I think about 12 years is I think about going to school from first grade to 12th grade. That's 12 years. So think about having something from first grade to 12th grade. You know, and so that's a 12-year span. That's an easy 12-year span to think about. You know, so 12 years she had a blood disease. And, you know, it kind of seems that she probably had a little bit of money because it says that she spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So evidently she went to see the best doctors, you know, in the land of the time, and they couldn't do anything. And she didn't get any better. And, you know, she was probably dying. Anyway, it says, when she heard about Jesus, see, it's real important to hear about Jesus, but it's what we have to understand is not just about Jesus, but what Jesus has done for us. You know, a lot of people hear about Jesus and they accept him as their Lord and Savior, but they don't accept him as their healer. They don't realize that Jesus didn't just come to this earth to redeem all mankind. He also took 39 stripes on his back, and by his stripes, we were made well 2,000 years ago. And there are a lot of people who know Jesus the Savior, but I want you to meet Jesus the healer and Jesus the provider and Jesus the one who loves you. I know a lot of people know that one because they went to Sunday school when they were a little kid, you know, and they were singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me," you know, all those love songs, the Jesus love songs, all right? And so, but this woman heard about Jesus the healer. And when she heard about Jesus the healer, it says she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, the reason she touched his garment was because she had said, "If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And we preach it all the time. We can have what we say we can have. Now, I kind of imagine, you realize that this wasn't an easy feat because it says that multitudes thronged him. They were all around him. And it's really hard to push through a crowd when people don't want, you know, when people want to be close and they don't want you to be close, they don't really want you, you know, they're not going to let you just come on through. It's not like, just come on through, no big deal. Now, also, unfortunately, we have to understand the day, because you realize, sometimes we don't realize because we think, well, this is the New Testament, but you realize we're still living under the Old Testament until Jesus Christ died upon the cross. And so for some of you who've read the Old Testament, I've read the Old Testament many times, and it's one of the coolest things that me and our family did was that every day we would read the Bible, the one-year Bible, and we would break it up that somebody would read. When we were younger, we didn't have to tackle the Old Testament. We would, get some old New Testament stuff. But one of the craziest things is to sit there with the family and to read Song of Solomon together, whenever you're an 8-year-old kid, or whatever. So I'd highly recommend that for you and your family to read the Old Testament. But, it is interesting because when you actually read the whole Bible, sometimes you actually, sometimes whenever you're listening to a sermon, you don't really get it. But if you listen to it, especially if you've heard it over and over again, in the Old Testament, they talk about somebody with a blood disease. And they say that if you have a blood disease, that if anyone gets around you, you're supposed to cry, unclean, unclean. Because at that time, they didn't know, if that blood disease was contagious or what it was. Or basically they were, it's kind of like I got cooties, get away. All right, so you're not supposed to be around people. There was a bunch of people, so it was illegal for her to really to be around people. And she's supposed to alert those people. And maybe that's a way to get people out of the way. Hey, get away from me, I'm contagious. And so, but no, she had to press through the crowd. Also, too, we have to realize the culture. Do you realize that in that culture, the females weren't highly regarded? And for a female to knock a male out of the way was a no-no. All right? Now, I see females knocking lots of males out of the way, and happens a lot here. Culture we live in the 21st century. But back then, that was a no-no. And, that was... So this woman had to work to get through that crowd. And I kind of imagine in my head, all of what she's trying to get to Jesus, she kept saying, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And I believe that it got to a point where she actually probably was on her hands and knees crawling through the crowd, because it was probably the easiest way to get through the crowd. Now you realize too, Jesus was actually moving. He was actually headed to Jairus' house. So he wasn't just standing here, preaching. He was actually moving, so it was a moving target, and that's a little harder. And you realize that this woman's sick and dying. She doesn't really feel like being a... if you're not feeling really well, you just don't go to Disney World and hang out with a bunch of people. All right? You don't want to be around a bunch of people. But this woman was on a mission, because she said with her mouth, if I just touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. Now, I told you, and I did it last year, every day I said that 2020 is going to be my best year ever, and I had what I said I had. I'm saying this year, I started this in I think it was September, that 2021 is going to be the most awesomest year. I say it every day, and it will be the most awesomest year because I said it will. And I can have what I say I can have. And that's my faith operating. And this woman was saying, if I just touch the spot of his clothes, I shall be healed. Now you realize that, okay, has anyone ever played horseshoes? Horseshoes, if you get the almost, it actually counts some points. But, the almost heal doesn't count any points in the Bible. So I started thinking about this. There were probably other people in the Bible times that probably kind of had the same thing. If I just get to Jesus, I'm going to be healed. But they stopped short. They stopped short, and their story was never recorded because their healing never happened because they stopped short. They didn't do what they needed to do to receive healing. So, think about that. What if this woman would have got 3 feet away and says, it's just too hard. There's just too many people. I just can't do it. No, she didn't stop. She was on a mission. And I tell you what, man, you know, if you don't feel good, I'd be on a mission to be able to feel better, because obviously she spent a lot of money to go to a lot of doctors to who knows what they did, you know, they did to try to heal her, and it didn't work. But she heard about Jesus, and she knew that Jesus was her healer. And she pressed through the crowd, and you know, she did whatever it took. She didn't stop 5 feet short. She didn't stop 3 feet short. She didn't stop 2 feet short. And I guarantee you, there were many people in the Bible times that probably stopped a few feet short, and we never heard about them. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. You can have what you say you can have. Because I know that there were some people last year that took my challenge, and they claimed 2020 was a great year until things started getting hard, things started getting tough, and they were like, oh, well, I guess it's going to be another crummy year. And they stopped. Guess what they had? Another crummy year. But see, you keep pushing through. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. And you can have what you say. I know that's actually a few chapters later in Mark chapter 11. We're only in Mark chapter 5. That hadn't been written yet, I guess. But it's true back in Mark 5. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Because this woman believed it. If she didn't believe it, she wouldn't have done it. Because see, at that point in time, the only way for her to get healing is for her to somehow get Jesus' attention. But she was at a point, you know, realize most people actually have the faith, well, if Jesus would just pray for me, I'm going to be healed. She had so much faith, he don't even have to pray for me. If I just touch him. I mean, I've traveled with my grandfather many, many times, and people come, well, if Brother Hagin would just pray for me. See, their faith was in Brother Hagin, not in Jesus. If, you know, but here's the thing, guys. Jesus didn't just pray for you. He took 39 stripes on his back for you. He's already done what he needs to do, and it's time for you to take what you need to have by your mouth. Speak things into existence. Speak your healing into existence. Speak the finances into existence. You know, I know many people this year, especially some folks that own businesses, and whenever stuff hit, they sort of say, oh man, it's gonna be a terrible year. I just hope we can stay in business. And I know some businesses this past year that actually had their best year ever. But you know what? When things started getting, instead of just throwing in the towel, they kept speaking, and they kept speaking, and they kept speaking. And God brought them not only just through it, but they had pressed down, shaken up, and running over blessings. Why? Because they said it with their mouth. They said it with their mouth. And I think that we need, I mean, sometimes we say a lot of things with our mouth maybe we shouldn't say. You know, or maybe in the world that we live in now, we do it with our keyboard. You know, whatever. But this woman said it, and she said it, and she said it. And then she got to Jesus, and she touched the hem of his garment. Verse 29, it says, immediately. I love the immediately things. I love it when all of a sudden, boom, something takes place. You know, but here's the thing, you know, not everyone gets healed immediately. And sometimes people, if they don't get healed immediately, they get upset and they get mad. Do you realize if you had stage 4 cancer, that at one point in time in your life you had stage 1 cancer, at another point in time you had stage 2, and then you had stage 3, and then it got to stage 4. It was a process. You say, well, yeah, but I don't know when I had stage 1 or stage 2 because I didn't find out about it. Well, you still had it. You just didn't go to the doctor to find out you had it. It was a process. And sometimes I've seen healing be a process. What's happened, you know, it slowly undoes what you have. I don't care if it's a process or immediately, it doesn't matter. You can continue to have the same kind of faith. Continue to believe. Continue to say. Continue to say. Every day. I mean, most of you know the church. I've had some kidney issues, and I confess it every day. My mom confesses it every day. Every time she prays for anything, she confesses it. That's kind of the way our family does. We have our, you know, when we pray for the meal, we have a tagline and whatever the family stuff, we pray for everything. Every day. Every day. Every day. There's not a day that goes by that we don't do it. Why? Because we can have what we say we can have. You can have what you say. It's just that simple. So what do you want? Because if you want something, you better start saying it, because you can have it if you say it. Now, if you are, I know people that says, when, you know, every month, well, it's going to be another miserable month. I don't have enough money to do this. I don't have enough money to do that. You can have what you say you can have. You can have what you say you can have. Your mouth is very important. The words you speak are very important, because your words can speak faith, or they can speak death, whatever it might be. Anyway, it goes on. It says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. So she felt something. She felt in her body that she was healed of this affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? I guarantee you it was Peter. I know it doesn't say it was Peter, it says disciples. I guarantee you, Peter, because it's a Peter kind of thing. I guarantee you, Peter said, Jesus, you're crazy. Everybody's touching you. I mean, everyone's touching you because they just want to see what it feels like to touch the man of God. I mean, obviously, if Jesus was standing in front of you, you would probably touch him too. I mean, you know, because you just, whatever. I've had people come up and want to shake my hands because they want to feel what it feels like. I said, well, it probably feels like anybody else's handshake, except for I just got done with the healing line and my hands are real sweaty right now, so it's going to be a sweaty handshake, but go ahead, I'll shake your hand. All right? So, I mean, you know, they want to feel like it feels like. But Jesus said, it's not a feels like touch. He said, the power went out of me. Now, why did power go out of him? Because the woman said it. That woman caused the power to heal her. It wasn't Jesus praying. It was her faith. Well, actually, we'll get to that point in a second. Anyway, it says, who touched me? And verse 32 says, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. All right. Anyway, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So notice he didn't say that my power made you well. He says your faith has made you well. It's your faith that unlocks the power of God. And in whatever area you need. Because, you know, we're talking about healing today, but what I want you to understand, if you need finances, then it's your faith that unlocks your finances. If you need your business to be successful, then you need to have good business principles, but also you need to speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. You know, speak life words every day. Or what's the Old Testament says, the life and death is in the tongue. Anyway, that's awesome. I mean, I know a lot of people that read the story and they're like, praise God, that lady got healed. That lady was sick for 12 years, folks. From the time you were in first grade to the time you were in 12th grade, she was sick. She was dying. She spent all her money. That deserves more than a hand clap. But here, I know people that they clap their hands and that's a great story. And they miss the whole point that they can have the same thing. That if this woman didn't, I mean, she didn't have all the Bible verses. She just heard that Jesus was her healer. You guys know the verses. And you can sing them twice. I mean, you know songs and you know all kinds of stuff. And this woman didn't know nothing. But sometimes I think knowing nothing, it's so much easier because you know what? Jesus, I'm here. I'm here, I'm ready. I mean, just touch me. Anyway, it goes on to say, while he was still speaking, remember, these guys were on a mission. They were on the way to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter was dying. And so it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? I mean, I can't even imagine to hear those words that your daughter is dead. You know, because I'm thinking of, you know, you're thinking about Jairus and thinking, you know what? If these people wouldn't have stopped Jesus, we would already been there. You know, I'm glad that lady got healed. That's great. But my daughter is important. And Jesus was coming to my daughter's house. And he began to lose faith and lose hope and, you know, do your natural things. And all of a sudden, it says this, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. And I don't know how many times that I've told myself, you're in all kinds of different situations. And, you know, in this situation, this happens sometimes. Sometimes you see everybody else, you know, it seems they're all getting all their needs met and everybody else is in all, and you seem to be at a dead end. Now, he's literally at a dead end, but you seem that nothing's happened. And it seems like everything's falling apart for you. I don't know how many times I've told myself when I'm going through things, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. I mean, those few words that Jesus said, and they're in red letters, have helped me so many times in my life. Do not be afraid, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So I don't have to be afraid about it. Only believe. And I tell you what, it'll get you through 2020, it'll get you through 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and however long until Jesus tarries is coming, or till you go over to the other side. It'll get you through every year of everything, and you know, and it doesn't matter what happens to everybody else's life. Just believe God. Just believe God. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And I'm going to move forward real fast and let you know that Jesus got to the house, kicked everybody out that were all crying and all weeping and all that kind of stuff, and said the lady's not dead, or the child is not dead. She's only sleeping, and went to there, lifted her up, and she walked off the deathbed. Why? Because Jairus had faith and said, Jesus, you come to my house. If you lay hands on my daughter, she will live and not die. You know what? He got what he said. Even though in the middle of it, there was bad news. You know what happens is a lot of times whenever we're, you know, things, we seem to be making headway, all of a sudden we get bad news. And when you get bad news, you have a choice to keep believing or give up. Keep believing or give up. Do not be afraid, only believe. And if you'll keep believing, if you'll keep saying it with your mouth, if you keep believing in your heart, you will have what you say. It's the word of God. God's word works. God's word works for me. God's word works for you. God's word always works, and you can have what you say you can have if you don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. I imagine in my own head, maybe it didn't happen this way, but this is the way I imagine. I imagine that lady at every step she took. If I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes. She probably got to a point where she quit saying if and started saying when. When I touch his clothes. When I touch his clothes. When I touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. When I touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. When I touch his clothes, my life is going to change. Because you know what? When you've been sick and you're dying and you instantly get healed, that changes your entire life. She had what she said she can have. Jairus told Jesus that if you just come and touch, pray for my daughter, she will live. And you know what? She did. Even though other people said she was dead, she wasn't dead. She was only sleeping. Why? Because they believe.